And joining us now, special guest today, we got Aslan. How you doing, guys?
How are you doing, man?
Great, thanks for having us on.
Oh, no bother at all. I saw you a couple of years ago. I think you were playing, where was it now?
The Empire, was it the Empire?
No, it wasn't the Empire. It was one of the community festivals out Castle Welland Way. I think it was, no? Anyway, the reason I bring it up, Chris, you did the whole gig in your bare feet. Do you always do that?
Yeah, I started doing that years ago because I was so nervous when we'd be singing, and I'd look out at the audience and my voice would start shaking. So I used to take my shoes off so I could feel my way around. I could close my eyes, not look at the audience, and then I wouldn't be tripping over leads and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
That's where I started. And now when I try to sing with my shoes, it doesn't feel right.
It's become your good luck thing. You have to do it all the time now.
That's it, yeah. I just feel weird when I'm in shows.
Well, listen, I'll have a yarn with you about the new album and stuff in a second, but you're going to play a song for us here.
Yes, this is Way For Our Friends. This is one of the songs of.
Okay.
I want to say something you need to know. I want to go places we need to go. This room that we meet in still feels so cold, 'cause the laughter that was here is laughing no more. Nobody smiles here anymore. All their shame has been swept up from these floors. We should share all the things that we've been. Wait for our friends to join in. We should tell all the stories we've seen. Wait for our friends to join in. Wait for our friends to join in. Nobody remembers where they came from. Like a book with no pages, their story is gone. When what you believed in is what you were told. While you cried in your sleep, the world carried on. Nobody smiles here anymore. All their shame has been swept up from these floors. Nobody cries here anymore. So we'll wait for our friends. Wait for our friends to come home.
Wait for our friends.
Wait for our friends to come home.
Wait for our friends.
Wait for our friends to come home.
Wait for our friends.
Wait for our friends to come home.
Wait for our friends.
Ah, good stuff. You're listening to Johnny Hero here on U105. Our special guests are Aslan. Lads, the new album.
Yep.
It's called Nudie Books and Frenchies. I won't ask you to qualify that or explain it, because I knew right away what it was. I have to say, some of the other people in this office thought it was might as well have been in Greek. That I didn't understand. But that's youngsters for you. So there's a whole smack of nostalgia about the album. I mean, the first track's Frank's Farm.
Yeah, well, what we were trying to do was, because it was 30 years, it was such a milestone that we wanted to kind of have a retrospective look at what we've been doing over the last 30 years, and even when we were kids and stuff like that. So the Frank's van thing would be, you know, anybody that grew up in a housing estate would know, or a van, the van would come in, sell the sweets and cigarettes and stuff. So you wouldn't have enough money to pay for your stuff till the end of the week. So everything was put in a book and all that. So anybody that worked in working class areas would know what that was about. So it's just, the album was being retrospective. We are looking at all the bands that influenced us and music that influenced and all that stuff over the last 30 years. And we just wanted to put it all into a record. And then the Nudie Books and Frenchies, as you were saying, you know, when we'd be going away, my mate would give us a tenner. Listen, you get us some Nudie Books and Frenchies when you're over in London, because you couldn't get that carry on in Dublin at the time.
I laughed my head off when I saw the title of the album. I says, no, they're not calling the album that. And I thought, you know, well, yes, you did, right?
Yeah.
Good. Anyone who's a teenager, sort of from my era, or a youngster, will know exactly what that story was. And it was great. I was just reading, even when you'd written about the van. I mean, anybody who came from an estate knew the story there as well. You know,
yes.
Money was tight, and whoever ran the van shop, or we had various house shops around the estate as well.
Yeah, we had that as well, yeah. Usually the vans moved into shops. You know, when a van got established, they'd drive around the estate, but they always had to live somewhere, and they usually lived on the estate. So if it was Christmas Day or something where the van wouldn't be driving around the estate, you could go to their house kind of at 12 o'clock at night for cigarettes and stuff. You know, there'd be parties in people's houses.
Yeah.
So you'd be going over for 40 woodbines, 60 players, 30...
you'd load them on. My mates used to buy singles.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Owens at the party.
Yeah.
Would be giving us money to go to get all these cigarettes. You know, we'd be just robbing one and two out of it. We used to get a loose cigarette and a match in Frank's van.
We'd be going to the youth club disco, and the boys would get, as you say, a single cigarette, a match, and a packet of Beechnut chewing gum.
Yeah, you know, I remember once years ago, just a quick one, right? I started getting a loose cigarette and I was smoking it, and I seen me outfit looking out, my dad looking out the door, right? So he caught me, so I flew back up to the van. I got a load of Wrigley's chewing gums and ate them, right? So I walked down really confident, walked into the house. So he grabbed me, said, "Let me smell your fingers."
brilliant. Yeah. Oh, listen, you were dealing with top class detectives, with parents, you know?
Yeah.
So does the nostalgia theme run right through the album?
Yeah, well, that was it. You know, when you're as long as us together, you know, potentially this could be our last record. We didn't know how relevant we'd be, if people would care, do you know what I mean? So we wanted to look back at everything we've been doing and just try and incorporate the whole thing in one record. And that's what it was about.
Yeah, and you've taken a Don Mescal song as well.
Yeah, the vibe of that was, we recorded the album and Don had written a couple of songs and he asked us to have a look at them. And there was another song that was he had, and Too Late for Hallelujah was in the mix kind of, and so he's playing this other song and I was saying, I like this one, Too Late for Hallelujah. He says, no, it's the first one I think is the song you should go for. So we took the two songs, I said, look, we'll record it and have a look. So I didn't say anything, so we just recorded Too Late for Hallelujah and went back and said, look. So when he heard it recorded, we hadn't intended it to release initially, but just we kind of captured the vibe, so we just decided to release it then.
Because we don't
normally do that. We don't normally put other people's songs on our records.
Yeah, I know. I was just wondering what impressed you to sort of even entertain the idea in the first place.
It's such a great song.
Only music. You know what I mean? People get all up their own arse kind of about what... You know, Too Precious. It's about music. It was a beautiful song. I thought we recorded it really well, so it went on our record, and that's it, you know.
Good stuff. You doing any gigs then to support the album? Because you've never really stopped. I mean, the last lot of years you've been as busy as ever, haven't you?
We've been on tour for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So we're going to get, you want to see the size of the t-shirts, the length of the back of them with all the tour dates. But, you know, just while we're on the radio, we've been trying to get gigs up the north. So any promoters are out there into running gigs, you know, it's because years ago we weren't getting played on BBC and stuff. A lot of people in the north wouldn't have been aware of us. But any time we've played there, we've always had great gigs. We've had great gigs in the Empire and Belfast, right across the north. So we're well up for anybody interested.
I saw that gig. I'm trying to remember what festival it was. It was in Kilcoo, right? It's on out Castlewellan direction. And I saw you there, and there must have been about 2,000 people at it. And the thing that impressed me, most of the people at the gig would have been sort of under 20.
Yeah.
And they knew every word of every song.
It's a weird one. I can't understand.
And I thought, I remember playing these tunes in the late 80s, and all these teenagers who weren't born were standing singing away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. One thing that it could be, we released an album a couple of years ago called Made in Dublin, a live album, and we played a lot of the older songs at a gig and kind of released a live album. And a lot of students picked up on that, and it became a big album. So maybe they picked it up from there. I don't know. But it's a nice surprise when you get something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so you don't have a gig sorted out up here yet?
We're trying.
We'll have to, you know.
I remember one of my favorite people asked me, what's your favorite gig you've ever done in the 30 year career? And I remember we were doing a European tour with Stiff Little Fingers.
Ah, yes.
And we arrived in Belfast in the Ulster Hall. And I'll never forget this. We were playing, we were the support band. The place was jammed. They were all waiting for Stiff Little Fingers to come up. And Jake Burns, in the middle of our set, he had his radio pack guitar and he went up onto the balcony and he played down and down and down, down alternative Ulster. And the crowd went ballistic. I will never forget that gig. It was the Ulster Hall. It was around 1988.
We had to just walk off the stage.
We couldn't follow that.
You're joking.
Yeah, Jake, it was one of the best tours we ever done.
Especially Belfast. So that's the vibe. We did an interview with the Telegraph, the Belfast Telegraph. I was even saying it to him, the guy that was interviewing us. We're dying to get gigs up there, so, and I mean that, so.
All right, I'm sure a lot of the promoters are listening, you know. Someone will get in touch with you.
I don't normally do that. Now, that sounds a bit bogey, because I don't
know. No, because I'm glad you mentioned it, because, when I mentioned yesterday, for instance, you were going to be on, the first thing all emails and texts and all says, where are they playing, you know. Yeah. So it's a public service. We'll get a gig organised.
Meanwhile, we're doing the biggest gig to celebrate the 30-year thing. We're in Talla Stadium, which is Shamrock Rovers football ground down in Dublin. And we have the Kaiser Chiefs and we have Roy Seven as special guests. And we're hoping to put 20,000 people in there on June the 30th. It's a Saturday night. So if any of our listeners fancy travelling down and celebrating our birthday with us, we'd love to see them down there.
That's a great lineup. Yourselves, the Kaiser Chiefs and Roy Seven, that's going to be smashing.
There'll be somebody else as well added in. We've been trying to get another band. We tried a few bands. We tried to get Kool and the Gang, actually, but they're playing in Egypt. So we tried a few different bands.
Listen, did you ever think when you started, you know, you're growing up in Finglas and everything else, you hadn't 2D, just like the rest of us, that you'd be trying to fill a 20,000 capacity stadium?
No, it's you know, even now, you know, you never, when you're reared in an area like that, you don't ever believe you're deserving of something like that, you know, so it's still weird.
Yeah, well, fair play to you, lads. You're still going 30 years later. The Talla Stadium gig's coming up. The new album is upon us. Nudie Books and Frenchies.
It was brilliant. I mean, last week when the album came out and it went straight in at number one, I mean, you know, I had to kind of slap me face to say that this shouldn't be happening. You know what I mean? We shouldn't be, you know, this album shouldn't be doing so well. But it's just a real confidence booster for the band. You know, that there's people out there that still want to hear Aslan music. So we're just enjoying this year very much.
Well, listen, lads, I think it's just a reminder that you've always been viewed as a real band. I mean, you've had your ups and downs, you've had your problems, which have been well documented in the papers and the media and everything else. But people still identify with the music, you know, really, after all these years.
Brilliant.
That's nice. So nice to hear. It really is nice.
No, that listen, but that's the truth from what I get from the various texts and people contact the station about Aslan. Every time we play a tune, you know, you'll get someone has a fond memory of a song that of yours that helped them through a situation. You know, seriously,
that's what makes it all worthwhile. I swear to God, that means more to us than anything else.
Well, listen, thanks for talking to us today, lads.
You.
And good luck. Okay,
thanks, very enjoyable. Thanks, it was great talking to you. Thanks,
boys. Bye.
Bye.
Gotta play this. Last time I saw Aslan, they were forced on pain of physical harm to do this twice. And as I say, a crowd of mostly teenagers sang every single word. How can I protect you in this crazy world? It's all right. It's all the same. I have traveled through so many towns.
don't know where, don't care less, it's all the same. How can I protect you in this crazy world? It's all right. It's all